How are we doing, guys? Good? It's good. It's good to have that on. My wife says you've got a park voice. It doesn't really matter. All right. So we're in Romans chapter 5. And as we've been traveling through, this is our third message in Romans 5. But in verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God, the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And you said, what? And we thank God for his word. And we thank God for the Holy Spirit that's going to help us this morning understand what we need to know from chapter 5. It'll help us in our relationship with him, in our relationship with others. So we're praying for God's blessing over this teaching in Jesus' name. You may be seated. And again, just passing around water, guys, feel free to move around as I'm teaching. And if any of you would like some water, just raise your hand right now so the guys can come and bring it. We all good? Good. So in chapter 5 of Romans, an easy chapter to read, to understand, but it's what we have, and it's a great blessing. So what had happened is, in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, the purpose was to help everyone know in the world that we're sinners and we need a Savior. So the first three chapters were helping us understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then in chapter 4, this biblical truth is illustrated through the life of Abraham. Because Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And this is a message that the church needs to hear, and it's a message the world needs to hear. We cannot make ourselves right with God. We cannot make ourselves ready for heaven by our own power, by our own strength. Calvary Chapel has no power, no capacity to save anybody. A friend of mine in the past, and still yet to accept Christ, but I've known him for about 45 years. When I see him, he'll always say, how many people did you save this week, Pastor? And I says, it's the same answer as I gave you last time. None. I have no capacity. But Jesus still is saving people, and for that we rejoice. So we're going to go a little bit deeper now. So we can say, are you saved? And you can say, yes. We can say, well, how do you know you're saved? And the answer would be, well, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. And he said, if I trust him for my salvation, if I trust him for forgiving my sins, I shall be saved. So that's how I know I'm saved, because that's what Jesus did and that's what he communicated. Then we say, well, what's been going on in your life since that's happened? How does that help you? How is your walk with God? Now, those questions are a little bit difficult to answer. So in chapter 5, as we take a running start to our text in verse 12, but we looked at verses 1 through 5 on one message and 6 through 11 on another message. So the first five verses of Romans chapter 5 makes it clear that the problem is that we are at war with God. Mankind is at war with God. Why are there riots? Why is there such unrest? Why is there such hatred? Why is there such animosity right now in our world? Because mankind is at war with God. That's where the first battle is at. You're at war with God. Your battle is with God. And since you do not want to settle matters with God, since you don't want to relate to God on his terms, you've determined on yourself to take it out on other people. And that's what's happening. But God says, if you come to me, you will experience, we saw in 5:1, peace. And that's what the world is looking for. If you talk to anybody who's in living in hostility, in what they would say toxic type environments, whether it's in the world, in the home, or wherever, the problem is I don't feel any peace. I'm not experiencing peace. I want to know peace. I desire to know peace. And that's a truthful answer. But we cannot experience personal peace until we have a spiritual peace with our Creator and with our Lord, Jesus Christ. And you might say, and someone might say, I've tried that. I've tried that. I've tried to read the Bible. I used to go to church. I tried it. It just doesn't work. And I'll probably have a tear flowing down my face in talking to you personally with that answer. Why? Because I know how much God loves you. And I know what he did to demonstrate that love for you personally. And for whatever reason, you're not able to receive the love of God for you. That's the problem. The problem is the ability to receive God's love. It exists, but you have to receive it. It would be like, as an illustration, I'm looking at the sound guys, I don't want to mess things up. But this is a random illustration, but here's a stool. And I never was around when this stool was made. I don't actually know who the manufacturer is, but I can tell you by looking on the bottom, it was not made in the United States. But I wasn't there when it was made. I wasn't there when it was shipped to the United States. I wasn't there when it was delivered to our church. I know nothing about the construction of this at all. Nothing and nothing. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that this stool could hold me up. I believe I can sit on it with my entire weight and it can hold me up. I believe that to be true. But the question you would ask, are you experiencing that? And the answer is no. Why? Because I'm standing and I'm not sitting. And many people have an intellectual knowledge. If you say that you believe God is true, yes. Do you believe that he's a God of peace? Yes. Do you believe that he can forgive your sins? Yes. You're not experiencing that because you haven't put your full trust in Christ. It's only when, and it better hold me or the illustration's washed out, but when I sit on this chair, this stool, with the fullness of my body, with the full capacity of all my weight, it's actually holding me up. It was there, and it says, you can come to me, you can sit, but I have to come and I have to receive this provision for me. And in our life, in our understanding of God, in our walk with God, we're failing to receive what he's provided for us. This morning, I want us to understand that free gift of grace. And I would pray that myself and all of us would leave here today with a greater understanding of the grace of God and the ability to receive God's grace, his favor, without anything you do, without any performance, just that you believe when you leave here today and even during this message, you believe God loves you, and you believe God has forgiven you, and you believe that God wants to set things right in your life, in your relation with others. You believe that God has peace for you, but we have to receive it. We've been married for 41 years. Always check and make sure the number's right. And we've lived in 3 different states, and we rented 14 different houses until the one that we're in now we've been in for over 20 years, so this is a good thing. And we have many illustrations of our experiences of moving. I've shared a number of them with you. When we were in Seattle, we were living in North Seattle, north of Northgate Mall. And we lived in a small house there. And I was asked to go into the ministry in 1985, and it meant making some other changes, and we wanted to rent a house. We'd give a notice in the one we were in. They're actually going to be selling it, so it wasn't a matter of giving a notice. It was a matter of them giving us the boot, but they did it correctly. And I thought for sure God would provide. And I'm pretty diligent about the process. And there was nothing that was there for us. Again, we could have found something, I'm sure, but just in terms of what we're looking for to rent and the income. Couldn't find anything. We had about a week left or so, and that's it. And that's down to the wire. And we had looked around that weekend. You get the newspaper. At that time, they were bigger than a wheat thin. They had volume to a newspaper. And that's the only thing you look at to find ads. There wasn't anything else. You look in a newspaper. And I knew all the ads in that Saturday and Sunday. You get the Sunday paper on Saturday because it's got all the stuff in it. And there was nothing. So Pam says, what are you going to do? And he says, we're going to look around. But on Sunday, we had driven around in some different areas, and we went by this older house. It had a fence around it. It wasn't listed or anything. And she goes, that would be a great place with a fence and everything around it. Yeah, great, but it's in a different neighborhood, and it's not for rent or anything. So on Monday, I went to 7-Eleven and got the newspaper, and going through the ads real quickly, I could find the ones that were new. There was only one that was new. And I called and went there, and it was the very house we had driven by on Sunday. The very house. That was the house. And I could say I was going to call her, but I'd have to go to a phone booth to call her. And says, you won't believe what happened. And I'm meeting with the landlord, and it's a place we ended up renting. What I want you to say, that's an illustration of the grace of God. Because we're at a point, what do you do? What can you do? We have to rely upon God. We have to believe he's going to provide for us. And that's what we need today. We need to know and hear from God in our own hearts based upon his word, is he wants to provide. He provided salvation, but he has so much more he wants to do in our life. And many times we stop at the empty tomb and receive what God has for us, salvation, but we stay put in our Christian life and our Christian walk. And today, as in our previous messages, it's about the God who provides much more. So in verses 5, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, he says, I'm going to provide you peace. I'm going to have let you have access to come to my throne at any time. In verse 2, I'm going to give you hope. He tells us in 3 and 4 that there's going to be difficulties in your life, but through those difficulties, you can still be hopeful. I'm at work within your life. And then in verse 5, it's amazing because he says that he's going to pour out his love within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit was given to us when we were saved. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, he hears your prayer, he forgives your sins, and he comes to dwell within you, to tabernacle within you through the Holy Spirit. And he lives within us. But Jesus encouraged us in Luke's gospel to continue to ask for that experience of the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. We need that power of God. He's dwelling within us. But we need to yield to him. And as we yield to him, he manifests all that we need. And then the predicament in verses 6 through 11 we saw last week is, why would God want me? What do I bring to the table? And the answer is, we bring nothing. The answer is that in verse 6, we were without strength. We were ungodly. And if your eyes drop down a little bit to verse 8, it tells us that actually it's when we were still sinners. And that's when we were in rebellion against God. We were enemies of God. That's when he loved us. Please get this in your heart right now. His love for you, his eternal love for you, his everlasting love for you is when you and I were at our worst, when we were enemies, when we were against God. I remember as a young college student on the beaches in California, Huntington Beach, and preachers were there preaching, and just with my really clever, as this older gentleman was preaching and he had a suit on, we're on the beach, we could care less. But we dug in the sand enough so that when he was walking back, he tripped and he fell. And we thought that was very funny. And to this day, I just grieve how foolish and how arrogant and how sad I was. Not only to him, to many others that stood out in faith and shared Christ with me. I attended Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa with Pastor Chuck, and I attended down in San Diego as well with Mike McIntosh, listening to their messages, but never surrendering to Christ. Why? Because the pride in my life was so strong. But I want you to know that I'm not alone. No matter what sin may dominate your life right now, His grace is more powerful than your sin or my sin. Listen, His grace is more powerful. His grace can overcome the worst of the worst. Paul would say, it's but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. As we look into the text then, and we go from verses 12 to 21 in this short period of time, what we see is another illustration. People will say, how did this all happen? When did this all begin? Why is there sin in the world? And that's a very fair question, and it's a question we should all ask deep within our hearts. How did sin come into this world? And why am I a sinner? How did that happen? God created everything, and the first three chapters of Genesis tells us how He did it. He created everything, and everything He created, He said, it is good, it is good, it is good. Then God created man, and He said, it's very good. And then He saw man was lonely, and He created woman from man. And He had them there together, and He brought them together. And He says, what God has put together, let not anyone separate. That here you are, put together. You're to be a blessing to one another and to enjoy the blessing of God. God said, it's very good. God said to Adam prior to this that you have dominion over all the creation, everything that I have. Enjoy it all. It's all yours. There's only one requirement. Adam, there's one tree. Stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But everything else is yours. It's all there. And sometime prior to this, we don't know when, but in the heavenly realm, an angel, Lucifer, rebelled against God. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted worship. And he was cast out. And there we find him in the garden, and he's tempting. And Eve bites, but she gives to Adam. Adam had the command. Eve was deceived, but Adam had the command from God. Do not disobey everything I have. I want to provide for you. I want to be the one to provide for you. And Adam disobeyed willfully and intentionally. And that's when sin entered the human race. You say, well, that's not fair. I mean, I'm tagged with sin because of what Adam did? Yes, absolutely. In Adam, he was tainted with sin. So sin entered into Adam at that point. And sin contaminated the human race at that point. That everyone born since that point is born in sin. And everyone needs a Savior. We all have a sinful nature. People disregard Genesis. I don't. We need every word in the Bible. We believe everything from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. Every bit of it. It's the truth. And many Christians even disregard the first 11 chapters of Genesis. I believe God made it all. I believe He just called it into existence. I believe creation. I believe how we came into existence. But why do I have to be penalized for Adam's sin? Again, it's a very fair question, and one you might be thinking about right now. So they were in a perfect environment. There was no sin. It was absolutely perfect. And in that perfect environment, they rebelled against God. So let's just say we'll draw the attention away from Adam and we'll put it on you. Can you honestly say that over this next week, between now and we meet next Sunday, that you will not sin one time in thought, word, or deed? No sin at all. Yeah, right. 6 days, seven, one day? My friends, we all sin. So God makes a helpful illustration for us. What He says in verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. So what Adam did is called the offense. What Christ is providing is the free gift. For if by one man's offense many died. So He's telling us that with Adam, we're in Adam, that we all die. But at the same time, listen now, stay with me. Jesus Christ came. So one man, Adam, changed all the history of mankind, of the human race, of humanity. One man did that. There's a power in your life is very powerful. The decisions you make affect multitudes of people. Einstein with the law, E equals MC squared. But in developing that, it helped to develop the atom bomb. And with that, with what man did, it radically has affected humanity, hasn't it? You can think of penicillin, Fleming, what he invented. It affects humanity. Your life has an effect on many people. So Adam's life affected all humanity. And because of his offense, sin and death came into the world. And the outcome is an eternity away from God. He died spiritually, he died physically, and he died eternally. But this is where we see the much more grace of God. Because the much more grace of God comes, and again, if you're looking at verse 15, it says, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is coming and saying, here's the other man. The Bible speaks of Adam, the first Adam, and Jesus Christ as the second Adam. That's the terminology. So the first Adam's offense brought sin and death into the world and destroyed humanity. The second Adam, the last Adam, is Jesus Christ. And his one act is going to provide salvation to the entire world for all those that want to receive his gift of eternal life. And that's what's being communicated to us, the gift of grace. Notice in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. So either death is reigning or life is reigning. We're declared righteous. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as much as through one man's offense, so with Adam, what happened? Judgment came into the world, resulting in condemnation. So for the whole world. Again, it's a little bit deep for sure, but what we're looking at in chapter 5, it's telling us what happened to the human race, how sin entered into the world, how it's affected all of mankind. But at the same way, God has affected the entire human race through Jesus Christ, because his one act of righteousness has brought justification. Adam's act of disobedience and offense brought sin and death. And God is saying, I want to make right all the wrongs. I want to forgive all your sins. I want you to enjoy the reason I made you. God said, I made you to have a relationship with you. We are made eternally. And God wants each of us to know we have an eternal existence. Hardy was singing the song, Oh Glorious Day. You can't wait and I can't wait. There is that day. And if there was a door into eternity, I have to think in my own mind, I am so close to that door that just moves me right and into eternity. And it's the same for all. We're very close. We're very, very close. And the other song he sang was to preach the word. And God said, here's my great love for the human race. I came, and I came to do away with the condemnation. I'm bringing justification. The offense brought sin and death. I'm bringing life that you might have it more abundantly. I want you to spend eternal life with me. And so in chapter 5, as we look a little bit further, again in verse 18, therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, listen, grace abounded much more. The law, as we've said earlier, cannot correct you. It can only inform you. When you're driving down the freeway and the speed limit sign is 60, and let's just say perhaps not you, but someone you know is going far more faster than 60. Say they're going 75, not you, someone you know. And as they're driving 75 I-5 south, why do they keep looking at the on-ramps and the overpass as they're getting close? What are they looking for? They know, they see that sign. That sign says 60 miles. That sign has no power to correct your foot on the gas. It's just informing you. It's just telling you, guess what? You're over the speed limit. You're breaking the law. It just tells you that. God's law just tells us we're lawbreakers. It can't correct us. And as a lawbreaker, God is telling us, guess what? I want you to know how bad you really are, lawbreaker. But I want you to know that my grace is going to abound much more. That where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. In verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a couple of thoughts here. And the worship team, if you can come up and lead us in these last couple of songs. As they're coming up, there's Adam and there's Jesus. So Adam ate of the forbidden tree. Jesus died on the tree, the cross. Adam was the offense. Jesus is the free gift. Adam, there's judgment. Jesus, there's justification. Adam, there's condemnation. Jesus, there's forgiveness. Adam, death reigns. Christ, life reigns. Adam, we're sinners. Christ, we're called righteous. Adam, sin abound. Jesus, grace abounds much more. Adam, eternal death. Jesus, eternal life. This is foundational. This is important for us to understand. What we must understand today, this is all by the grace of God. It's by His grace. It's not by our energy. It's not by our good intentions. It's not by anything other than Jesus Christ and His love for you. We've been saved by grace through faith. That, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. Let's stand. And as we go through these next two songs, I'm going to have Victor come up here and be on this side. I'll be over there. And if any of you here today, it's a day where, you know what? God's speaking to you. And you've been dedicated to you and not to Jesus. And maybe you're at that point of realizing, I thought I was a Christian, but I realize I've been just following a lot of rules and regulations and have yet to come under the graceful influence of Jesus Christ. You want to experience that grace of God for forgiveness and salvation. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life. Or maybe you just need prayer. You just want to experience more of His ever-abundant grace. We want to pray for you. Praise God during these worship songs. He is with you. He is for you. He loves you. What a blessing. Amen. Hey, just one more illustration regarding grace. So I gave an illustration regarding grace, and that is that God wants to help you in life in every situation. And I gave you the illustration of just being desperate and needing God to work. And God wants to work. When we were in that little rental house, I just started in the ministry in 1985, and we had this huge used station wagon. It was a block long, I'm sure it was. And I got upset at my wife, and I left the house and slammed the door and took off mad. It's coming down to a signal in Lake City Way. It was a signal that had turned yellow. I should have stopped. I just gunned it. It had a big engine. It sounded mean. Right through. Well, there was a motorcycle Seattle policeman right there waiting for me. So when he pulled me over, he wasn't interested in any conversation. He just interested in my identification. So I realized that when I left in a huff and a tough, I left my daytimer wallet right there on the counter. So he says, do you have any ID? He says, the only thing I have is this little new card I got. I started a new job. He goes, where at? I go, at Calvary Chapel here in the area. What do you do? I'm a pastor. Uh-huh. Okay. So I need to follow you to your house. So he followed me back to my house with my little girls looking out the window. And Daddy pulling up with policemen behind him. And as I went to the front door, they asked me, what do they want? What does a policeman want? What's wrong, Daddy? And I says, he needs to have a track. I'm just here to get a little gospel track for him. That's all. No, I let them know. Daddy failed today. But God's gracious. And God's gracious. So in your failure, don't live in it. Seek forgiveness. Live within the grace of God. Live within the grace of God. Be set free. Be set free. Not to continue to live foolishly, but realize that was my association with Adam. And I proved that I'm a son of Adam. But then asking for forgiveness, I proved I'm a son of Jesus Christ. And I'm a child of God. And by the grace of God. Do not live in the condemnation. Live in the justification. Tomorrow night we have prayer at 7 o'clock here. If any of you need prayer, you can come and join us at 7 or just send us a prayer request. We love to pray for you. On Wednesday night, we continue outside here. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 8. Hope you can join with us. Not the following Sunday, but in 2 weeks from now. So I believe it'll be like August 9th. We're hoping, weather nice, to have another baptism. Also have lunch together and communion together as well. So in 2 weeks, be thinking about that as well. If we can help you afterwards in any way, let us know. God bless you.